All right, episode 114. We're back, Rob.
We're back. I'm back.
Hooray. You're feverishly writing down notes.
Yes, pre-show notes.
Pre-show notes, but the show has just started.
I know.
That's what I love about it. Nothing like being super, super prepared.
Also, right? Nothing like being a lefty with a graphite pencil.
Yeah, where did that pencil come from?
This pencil, I don't know where it came from, but I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you refill the lead on that thing?
I haven't had to yet. Okay. I'm scared to open it and see how much is left in the tank.
Remember those old school, like the super thin, and it would constantly snap?
Yeah, and you would buy the separate little plastic.
Yeah,
And it was often like triangular shaped or like rhombus shaped.
Yeah, it had some strange parallelogram thing going on. I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that was a weird universal truth at the office supply store.
Well, and the misnomer was as kids, we used to call them lead pencils.
Yes, but it's like, actually...
All pencils are... Well, right.
It's graphite, right?
It's graphite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we should have called them as mechanical pencils.
Why did we call them lead? Why it was?
I don't know. It just stuck.
Yeah, it's just kind of one of those things. Yeah, I haven't thought about that in forever.
We should have called them mechanical pencils.
Do you prefer a pencil over a pen, or what do you prefer?
Depends on the pencil, and it depends on the pen.
Okay. In a perfect world.
I mean, you hit me with a Barrel Murado number 2. I'm writing pencil all day long.
This is very specific, and I love it. I'm here for it. But okay, so your
Uniball?
Well, that's what I'm rocking right now. I've got a Uniball. But my Uniball kind of, it smears a little bit, if you notice. It's got,
there's good Uniballs and bad. You can get a bad batch.
Well, it kind of blots at the end or whatever. All right, so, but your best favorite pen versus your favorite pencil, no technological difference. Which one are you picking?
Pencil.
You're going pencil.
It's just got a better, more organic. It's just got a better feel to it.
Better feel to it. Okay, all right.
It's like this. It's like, you remember, we're roughly the same age. You're a little bit younger, but you're old enough to remember the like late 70s cars, like the big old Buicks and the Oldsmobiles.
Yeah, you fit 10
remember
dead bodies
those
in the back
rode
of those
over the ride of those was so
bouncy.
It was just floating on something. You hit a pothole and you didn't even feel it.
Exactly.
You just went.
Yeah.
That's what a good pencil feels like to me across the page.
Okay, interesting.
Versus a pen sometimes.
Huh.
I mean, I like a good pen. Don't get me wrong, but you asked me to choose.
I'm a pen guy all the way. Nobody's asking me, but I'm a pen guy. Yeah, I am I'm the Sharpie ultra fine point. You know, those crazy, super thin,
small Sharpies.
You know, almost, they're bigger than microns, but getting down to that micron level.
Yeah.
Like the super thin, permanent line. I don't know, writes on anything. But I'm not anti-pencil. Don't get me wrong. I do love myself a pencil. I mean, that's how we all taught up.
If you're talking about a traditional pencil, like some hold their point better than others.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And the pencil sharpener, we've failed in advancing pencil sharpening.
It hasn't
technology.
Changed in forever.
That's right. So, we stopped. I mean, at least we don't have the hand crank.
I had one of those in my house on the door. Yeah. Well, that was like a universal American thing too.
Yeah. That's like the rotary. It was like the rotary phone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Where was I? I was just watching something. I was just watching something with Rachel, and we were both immediately, we paused the television. It was only on screen for like 2 seconds, and we both just hysterically started cracking up because it was an older style house, right? It's part of the show or whatever. And it had the TV on top of the TV. So it was the modern flat screen TV sitting on top of the TV that was built into the wood cabinet or whatever like that. We were like, oh my God. That was my grandpa right at the end there. You know what I mean? It's like big old TV. I mean, those TVs were like giant pieces of furniture.
Oh my God, and they were so heavy too.
Oh, like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't moving that thing at all.
No.
So funny. Pens, pencils, old school stuff, bouncy shocks, all that good stuff, I don't know how to transition. I'm not being a good radio host here. How do we transition from that to today's topic?
I think we just hard left.
Okay.
We weren't going to talk about pens and pencils.
No.
But now that we've done that, we're going to move on to our next subject, which was the idea for the podcast, which was really to just talk about Atlanta companies.
Yeah.
And we've sort of done some Atlanta things before.
Yeah.
But we thought maybe we'd just have a conversation about Atlanta companies in general.
Yeah.
And I think of, I guess, just to set up, I'm a native to Atlanta. Whoop, whoop. And
somebody hit the sound button.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a good surprise.
How about that?
Yeah. Okay.
I think of Atlanta still in my mind growing up as this small little town.
Yeah.
Right. And of course you had Coca-Cola.
Sure.
And you had, Turner, TBS,
TV, the Superstation, baby.
Superstation.
Yeah.
You had some businesses that were large. You had UPS was kind of in its groundling stage,
sure.
I suppose. But it wasn't the booming metropolis of international corporations that it is now. It's a global player, I would say.
For sure. But you also had Fly Delta Jets, right? I mean, that was also kind of synonymous with travel. So.
Yep. And now we're in the big boys. We made it to the bigs, and we've got all kinds of crazy companies. And
yeah,
so we thought we would just talk about sort of those companies and favorite companies and thoughts and things like that.
Of the old trusty dusties that you referenced, right? Mm-hmm. The sort of the original foundation building blocks of Atlanta companies. Do you have one that you kind of favor more than others, you know, either from a nostalgic perspective or an advertising marketing perspective or, you know, I mean, obviously it's easiest to pick on Coke, but like,
I would say Coke, but here's why. Yeah. Well, I have two answers.
Yeah.
My first answer would be Coca-Cola. And okay. I think it's primarily one of the, if not the greatest example of the world's, arguably one of the world's largest companies built on one of the simplest products.
Okay. Interesting.
Right. I mean, if you boil it down, it's sugar water.
Sugar water.
I mean, yeah. Sugar water.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there was a medicinal component to all of these things back in the day, but really it's something that hasn't changed. And when they did try and change it, that was a monster F up, as we know, in the '80s.
Sure.
With New Coke.
Yeah.
But it stayed the same.
Yeah.
And it has continued to grow and grow and grow, and how it can keep growing, I don't know to what corner of the earth it has not infiltrated. But it keeps growing. And I think here in Atlanta, you know, from a size of a company that big, I think they do a really good job of maintaining the love for the hometown.
Sure.
Of course. I think from a philanthropic level, they do a lot of amazing things.
Sure.
And they just they're one of those companies that rarely, if ever, is tainted by negative
controversy.
That's right. Or negative public relations.
Yeah.
You know, or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, it only creeps in a little bit with environmental aspects of plastics and, you know, recycling and things like that. Yep. Right. But to your point, I mean, they do kind of stay above the fray.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then from a marketing perspective, you know, it's very rare for them to put all their eggs into any one basket. So like meaning what they're never the title sponsor of anything. I mean, they are one of the preeminent sponsors generally of, like, you know, Olympics and events and things like that, right? But they don't put their weight behind any one specific individual. Mm-mm. or they spread the wealth. Like, so like when NASCAR was really, really big, you know, they were never the title sponsor of any driver.
Every car.
But they had the Coca-Cola racing family, which they had like 15 drivers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it insulates them from, you know, and they still do that. You know, they're not the title sponsor of any specific soccer team, but they probably sponsor half of Liga MX, you know, stuff like that, right? So it's interesting how they spread the wealth around, which I think kind of does insulate them from any, you know, bad PR should any one individual, you know, go down.
And they also don't really take very many risks at all, at least in their marketing.
Yeah.
Like they never lean into a controversial, I don't want to, maybe that's not the word, too edgy stuff or polarizing.
Yeah, they're enjoy life.
Coke is it.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah, we both did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
But I think that goes to your earlier point of they are so ubiquitous and probably the number one recalled brand globally, and they are everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? That, I mean, they're in like the worst, grossest gas station anywhere in the world, and they're in the best 5-star restaurant anywhere in the world, right? I mean, they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to explain to anyone what Coke is. Everyone knows exactly what it is, and they know what it tastes like, and they know, you know, so they can get away with that sort of generalized messaging that has nothing to do with their actual product. Like you don't have to.
Well, they never talk about.
You don't have to explain product,
unless they're introducing a flavor or something. They don't ever have to.
Yeah, they don't have to explain. Hey, this is a carbonated soft drink. You know, so it's always kind of a lifestyle approach, and they can lean in on that positivity for sure. Yeah. So.
And I mean, look, we all, you know, it was the '80s and the '70s. We all grew up drinking Coca-Cola all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're worse, but you know, Tab, right? When Tab went away, you know, ingredient based stuff might be some of the, you know, aspartame and, you know, some of that.
Yeah, I mean, ingredient. But, I mean, it all. Yeah, right. But, I mean, marketing wise, I guess their most ginormous blunder was changing the formula.
Yeah, Yeah.
Which was a bad idea.
horrible idea.
Yeah, horrible idea.
But you know what? They turned it around and it all worked out.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So
if you think about it, and we don't need to go down in the weeds, but you know, if you think about just the consistency of their presentation everywhere, from a production standpoint.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Coke Red.
Yeah.
Coke Red is Coke Red.
Yeah. And we use that example with clients all the time, explaining how that works.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, the challenge of getting Coke Red to look like Coke Red, from a billboard to a can to a cardboard box on a television, it is a massive science undertaking.
It's a Herculean effort.
Yeah, it really is. And a lot of companies do that, but they're probably the biggest. I mean,
well, they've got maybe four giant brand assets. That's it. They've got the color,
right?
You know, they've got the contour bottle, they've got the script, and then they have what's called the dynamic ribbon, right? Which is that little swooshy thing, which they don't use as much anymore, right?
Somebody sent me the other day, and I'll forward it to you. But it's a Coca-Cola ad,
okay?
And all it is it's like a billboard, right? Got and it. All it is the red background, Coca-Cola red.
Got it.
And the only thing on the board is the Coca-Cola type from the bottle.
Okay.
And it's set exactly in the curvature that it is on the bottle.
That's cool.
And you look at it and you see a bottle.
Really?
It is the craziest.
That's cool.
Mind melting.
Yeah,
you're
cool.
Like, oh my God. And that's how ubiquitous it is.
Yeah.
And the shape and all of the assets are that all you have to do is see the slightly curved logo and you picture the actual physical product.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because we didn't really grow up with the contour bottle as a graphic asset through the 80s and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And in the 90s, they did all this weird bitmappy stuff. They brought in yellows, you know, everybody like multi-drop shadowed things, and they did all sorts. And now it's just back to clean nothingness, which I love.
Nice and clean. And that logo's been that logo for a long, long time.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever, which is great. Yeah, it's hard to talk about Atlanta brands and Atlanta companies without giving a solid 10-minute shout out to Coca-Cola and all the good stuff. I mean, they're just, and to your point, they're not, where are they going to grow? Where is their Coke? I mean, the population's growing, so you got that.
Sure.
I think, you know, juices and waters and non-carbonated beverages are obviously on the rise. You know, carbonated soft drinks are probably on the decline.
Right.
You know? But, you know, I don't know. We got 8 billion people here. I mean,
it's a lot of people who still love Coke.
Exactly. All right. Any others off the top of your head from a nostalgia perspective or anything?
I mean, Delta, obviously, because that's allowed me to go to wonderful places in my life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it continues to be a great,
It's hard not to love Delta living in Atlanta and flying out of Hartsfield.
Yeah, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Nonstop, you can literally go anywhere in the world.
It's and everywhere amazing. Else in the Southeast basically flies to Atlanta first and then flies to wherever.
Yep.
So being here, it's
pretty amazing. So and I mean, easier. I guess as a brand, they're fine.
Yeah.
I don't have like a lovely feel good about the brand, but I don't think I'm supposed to. I think I'm just supposed to. And now they have done some funny things along the way.
Well,
like with their in-flight videos were great, and things like that. They've done some really fun stuff, I think, along the way.
Yeah, they've tried their best with some, you know, that's a tough industry, man. I mean, it just is, you know.
Sure.
And there are, every time you turn around, there are nothing but pitfalls from a brand experience, right? If a brand is basically comprised of all of your experiences, right? It's the internalized summary of your experience and touch points with that company, right?
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of problems with airfare. And half of those have nothing to do with your actual service, right? I mean, think about TSA, the parking, customer service, weather. I mean, there's so many things. Like literally all you do is fly from here to there. So, I mean, you can have a perfect on-time departure and have perfect skies and no turbulence and whatever, and still kind of have a bad customer experience.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
The guy I sat next to was a horrible seatmate. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, there's so many pitfalls, right? So that is an incredibly challenging industry, just from a brand maintenance perspective.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've done as great of a job as they can, I think, you know? And I think their product is good. I mean, they always have newer jets, I think, you know? It's not, now you do pay a little bit of a premium.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting. I mean, being in Atlanta and living in Atlanta for my entire life, basically, they don't really have to advertise a lot. They just have to remind you that they're here, which they do a good job of.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. But I wonder how they market outside of this market.
Well, I would say it's the exact opposite for me in terms of thinking about it this way. I grew up all United.
Yeah.
United, 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 United. Right. And when you fly into San Francisco, it's got the big United hangar, just like how it's got the Delta. Right. Mm-hmm. And United was just a given. So I would pose this question to you.
Yeah.
How does United market here in Atlanta? Do you know what I mean? That's how Delta markets basically in San Francisco.
Oddly enough, my answer these days would be like not
yeah.
a lot.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't think of any messaging or any.
And again, that industry is so price commodity driven. You're either brand allegiant because you have a hub,
yeah.
right? So, I live in Salt Lake City or the different places right. have the, and it's a convenience factor of, there are 10 flights a day
yeah.
where, or you're going totally on price. Like I'm going Southwest, I'm going Frontier, I'm doing Spirit, I'm doing some El Cheapo just because I got to get there.
And their biggest marketing, now that I started to really think about it, is Delta, right? Is around the, around the experience, meaning their loyalty program, their reward, Delta SkyMiles.
Oh, SkyMiles, yeah.
I mean, that's their marketing. That and their Delta Sky Lounges.
Yeah, and tied to American Express, right? I mean, that Halo brand.
Yeah, then they've got it covered there. So again, they're marketing kind of the experience. But yeah, I mean, it's a commodity play. Although there are, there are a few airlines that I've flown on that I will not fly on. Like, I don't care if the price is half.
Yeah,
will not do it.
Well, I had one of those last year.
Just based on horrible experiences.
I absolutely had to get somewhere like the next day because of an emergency, like a situation.
Yeah.
And there was literally only one. I was like, I got to use this thing. I have to do this. And I was one of those, never again. We're done with
it. It was horrible.
Yeah, that was a horrible, horrible experience. So, coupled with the fact that you cannot physically unsubscribe from their emails because their site is broken.
So this particular airline.
Yeah. To the point where it's
Hooters Air. So come on, fess up.
Man, remember when that was a thing?
Why can't I unsubscribe to the Hooters email blast?
No, it's you go in and you click the unsubscribe thing and then you just constantly get 404s, this account doesn't exist. Oh my Lord. So I block this.
Well, you know me, I'm convinced the unsubscribe button is a
resubscribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they make you type in your email, they're like, sucker.
Yeah, so, we got you.
That's funny. All right. Well, let me flip the script real quick let me jump in here with one, maybe you've thought about, maybe you haven't, but I would say more on the newfangled side instead of historical side of Atlanta. I would say MailChimp. Oh, is that on your list?
I haven't written it.
Oh,
right
boom.
There.
Okay. Well, hey, great minds think alike, right? I thought when MailChimp first launched, it was awesome.
Why did you think it was awesome? From what perspective?
Well, I would say as a user, because we were using it very early adoption, right?
So as an agency.
As an agency,
sending out emails,
both for ourselves, but then also doing email programs or email, blast programs for clients and stuff like that. User interface a million times better at the time at launch. And then I would also say a brand levity to try to get the word out and stuff like that, right? It was all about chimpanzees inside the software itself. You had funny little chimpanzee and ape jokes.
Very irreverent.
Had all sorts of funk, and then there were like banana icons. I mean, they just kept that theme of mail, physical mail, electronic mail, and then the universe of both monkeys and apes, right? All sort of in a blender from a brand perspective. So it was a fun, it made something that was dreary and obnoxious. Oh my God, I've got this Excel sheet. I have to export a CSV column delineated.
Constant contact. Are you listening?
And then I have to upload it into this. Yeah. It made the dreary, horrible monotony of drudgery of technology and put a face to it. It made it fun.
Well, they, from a branding perspective, they are irreverent and super fun. And I remember the one that stands out to me is, I think it was right here for a while up the street, but the heavy metal one. Remember there was the heavy metal type?
Yes.
Barely legible, but it read MailChimp.
Yeah.
So they've been irreverent for a long time. I think,
They're
you're taking a product that stepping aside for a minute from the fact that we would use this for our clients, generally speaking, the universe of people, right?
Okay.
Doesn't really like e-blasts. I'm going to suggest receiving them.
Yeah.
I mean, no one likes that, right? So they've taken a product.
Look. Another email.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at that. What is this unsolicited random email?
Exactly.
from a company,
from
I
an
have
airline
no interest
I don't
in.
Want anything yeah. to do with.
Right. So it's a product that at its core people don't really like.
Yeah.
And they made it friendly and approachable sure. and all of those things. And I think you could say that, not to pick on Constant Contact, but I'm going to pick on Constant Contact. They're more the IBM.
Yeah.
But it's MailChimp the same. Is I mean, more the Apple.
Pardot, you know, Salesforce. Yeah. All the, they're so big. It's
right,
just, ugh,
right.
You know?
Unapproachable.
But you and I probably both remember when MailChimp was like over on Mean Street.
Yeah, it was right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, it was the little engine that could, and they you know, grew up and became this awesome. I mean, they sold to Intuit, right?
The TurboTax people. Maybe they did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and good for them. They made it. Hopefully, people made all the monies and...
I think they probably did.
Good things are happening. But I always thought that was a good... I don't know if that means they're still based here or not, but I do think of that as an Atlanta sort of origin... On the new side of life, right?
Well, I'm going to flip the script for a minute. Not flip the script, but I'm going to go in a different direction. So I, a couple of weeks ago, they had the Atlanta Boat Show, which you and I are familiar with.
Yeah.
And I went down there and walked around on a Sunday. And it's, for those who don't know, the Atlanta Boat Show is one of, if not the largest boat shows in
humongous.
The country.
Humongous.
I think Miami's the other big, really, really big one, but Atlanta's a massive, massive one. And there's vendor aisles there. There's two or three aisles of vendors. And it's all small mom and pop kind of shops, right? And businesses.
Sure. On the smaller sort of side. There's a whole section devoted to that.
Like three aisles that are just kind of local businesses and things like that. And so I think, and I happen to run into one. Shout out to a company called Doc Blocks.
Doc Blocks.
It's based in Gainesville.
Okay.
Which we'll consider Atlanta.
Sure.
And these guys started this business and it's accessories for your dock and the thing. And it's super cool. And I talked to them for a while at the show and they couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
Introduced me to the product. We talked about their business. I think they've been around for a year, maybe 2 years.
Oh, okay. So new. Love it.
And they were doing really well at the show. And it was just kind of a cool, like, hey, local business doing really, really well with a unique, cool, fun product.
Love it.
Supporting the local guys. So it's still a great, I mean, as every city is, cause America, yay, rah, rah, America, land of opportunity. But like those are, there's so many cool, just little businesses like that, that you kind of stumble across here and elsewhere.
Oh yeah. It's not always the giant.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example.
Hit me.
Trees for Tuition. Shout out.
Trees for Tuition.
Yeah. It's a couple of guys, from that are UGA grads, Go Dawgs. That started up the Christmas tree business.
Okay.
So we buy our Christmas trees from them every year to support the thing and the tuition and all the good things. And they've now grown their, you know, they've got however many Christmas tree lots that they have now.
Are they still basically only here or is the idea
as far growing? As I know, it's all in Atlanta. It's all around Atlanta as far as I know.
So they're going head to head with the big dog, the big, going big up Johns.
The big Johns.
Yeah.
Is big John's still around?
I don't know. We decided to not go with the real trees anymore.
Yeah, they hate Christmas.
I know. I like my LED. It's just a giant halogen bulb, you know? Just one giant spotlight. All right, kids, gather around the spotlight.
So those are a couple of my just shout out random little local businesses that I think are cool.
Yeah, that's super cool. I didn't think about little guys in this one. I just thought about sort of bigger brands and whatnot. So but we've gone on. I mean, we can keep going, you know. But we can also just table this and do another one of these things of some of our other favorites, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I got for today.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, where can everybody find us, Rob?
Well, they can find our local Atlanta business on 14th Street near the Silver Skillet.
Yeah.
If you're curious, and hungry. Or you can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com, of course, or on all the socials at mocktheagency. And let us know some of your favorite Atlanta businesses.
Do it. Cool.
All right.
Bye.
Talk to you next time.